Looking for a new 1500 Silverado? Shop Beatty Chevrolet and get 2.9% APR for 72 months on a new 1500 Silverado. Or if you want a new vehicle and a Chevy Equinox LT fits your lifestyle, check out Beatty Chevrolet's lease option on a 24 Equinox for only $325 a month. And as always, buy with confidence with the Beatty Warranty for Life. Beatty Chevrolet on Parkside Drive. Online at BeattyChevrolet.com. Beatty Chevrolet, locally owned and operated for over 90 years.
An hour remaining on Josh and Swain here on 99.1 The Sports Animal. No Josh Ward today instead. Eric Kane here, pinch hitting, but with the VFL's Jason Swain and Kevin Simon. And we discussed this a couple minutes ago, but Darnell Wright, who's representing Tennessee down in Mobile, Alabama for the Senior Bowl, along with Byron Young and Hendon Hooker. But Darnell Wright was named the practice player of the week in terms of the offensive lineman, voted on by his peers, who they go up against one another every single day. And a really good accomplishment for him. But overall, the Senior Bowl experience, Kevin, you were kind of talking off air. This is kind of the last time you see them in pads and the last showcase of your skills and ability on a football field before the draft. And you see so many guys that participate in the Senior Bowl every year who go on to be great NFL players, couple of first rounders. A chance, and from all intents and purposes, I think Darnell Wright and Byron Young have both really helped themselves out this week.
Yeah, no doubt. So for the NFL personnel in attendance, the way we look at it is a lot of your steak and potatoes, a lot of the meat of the draft will come from guys who are in this game. Right about 99 to 100 guys in the game, and most years about 85 to 90 of them will get drafted. So, you know, you're looking at guys who have an opportunity to come and improve your football team, whether that be as a day one starter, you know, guys at the top of the first round, as a starter who develops, you know, over the course of a season, quality backup and role players. So at the end of the day, you know, when I was with the Dallas Cowboys or with the Falcons scouting, and I started the evaluation process on a player, my thought was, how's this guy going to help us win a Super Bowl? How's he going to help us win a championship? So that's kind of where they're at there. I always enjoyed the because there's a interview process as well, and you're trying to get to know the guys. I always enjoyed speaking to players at the combine, just because they weren't as rehearsed as when you or at the Senior Bowl.
Yeah.
They weren't as rehearsed as when you get to the combine. It was more just kind of general, authentic answers. The other thing that I loved about it is that whether I was studying the defensive line group or the linebacker group or or if I had the quarterbacks and receivers, like I had for 2 years with the Cowboys, I could ask pointed questions on, all right, hey, so this play here didn't work out how you wanted to. So, hey, tell me, so what are you thinking, right? Or what have you been coached to do? Right, we could really kind of talk in real time about things that are happening on the football field and kind of getting their answers. And depending on, you know, how they saw themselves, their humility or their willingness to admit, you know, I could have done this a little better, or, you know, some of those types of things told me a lot about them and how they're going to fit into the culture and chemistry of our team, you know, whether I was with the Cowboys or the Falcons.
Jason, how? Oh, go ahead. You got a follow up?
Yeah, I want to ask Kevin, during his time as a scout in the NFL, what are some examples of guys helping themselves at the Senior Bowl, and what are some examples of guys hurting themselves at the Senior Bowl?
So I think Aaron Donald is definitely an example of a guy who helped himself. You know, Aaron Donald
best
was
best player in the NFL. Yeah.
Well, but I mean, that wasn't universal when he was coming out of Pittsburgh,
oh, yeah.
Right? I mean, he's an undersized guy. So when he came out, the last number is in eighth. So he was 6006. So he was 6 foot tall and 3/4. He was 285 pounds. And he went down to the Senior Bowl and dominated. I mean, he's one of the rare guys who, I mean, he just has a unique way of playing big. Now, he's also was state wrestling champ in the state of Pennsylvania, and a day one starter as soon as he got to Pittsburgh. The other thing is that when you got into the interview room with him talking about how they coach things and talking about protections, you know, he's saying, all right, well, you know, generally the protection is going to slide to the field And if the running back's on my right, then I know that's going to be the man side. So now I know I got a one-on-one. And those are things that you just don't hear a lot of college guys talk about. So he was very impressive and dominated that week and definitely improved his draft stock. An example of someone who maybe had hurt their draft stock, you know, I'm trying to think, gosh, because the wins, they stand out a lot more than the losses. Like even like Colin Kaepernick coming down there, and he ends up going to the top of the second round. But just the way he was driving the football, you know, made you believe that he would be able to ascend. You know, one that nothing standing out to me about a guy that hurt their draft stock, just because I think at the end of the day for us, as scouts, we're trying to get closer to knowing and further away from guessing on these players. So the more information we have, the more knowledge we have about you, you know, the easier it is to make that pick. So, you know, really, at the end of the day, it ends up being usually a win-win just because we kind of get to lay hands on you. In 2015, the Cowboys, our staff, we coached the Senior Bowl, and it's something that helped us. Well, we coached Dak. 2006, we coached Dak and led to us drafting that Dak. You know, we felt like we had more information about him. The way I see it, I'm a sunny guy. I'm a glass half full guy.
Yep.
So going to the Senior Bowl, I think for most guys, you know, barring an injury, and even no injuries stand out to me right now, or prominent guys, but I've just seen it help a lot more guys than hurt.
We saw Stetson Bennett, I think, prove that he can play at the next level, but him getting himself in trouble during this process, right, of playing your last game, winning a championship, most everyone is going to train. And that's supposed to be the time where you're locked in, you're focused, you're preparing yourself for the biggest job interview of your life, and he gets arrested for public intoxication. How do you think he's going to be able to recover? Can he recover? What are the questions going to be like, in your opinion, during the evaluation process? He declined to go to the Senior Bowl.
Yeah, why did he do that?
Yeah, what's his?
I mean, I know you don't know, but sorry, Jace. I know you know, but like, why would a guy like that decline?
Really, he really could have helped his stock.
Yeah.
By going to the Senior Bowl, a lot of times when guys decline to go, either they are a top 10, top 15 pick, or they got something to hide. And Stetson Bennett is not a top 10 or 15 pick. Come on and compete, big guy. Hey, yeah. Show me what you got. You know, him abstaining from the process and getting himself in some trouble down there in Dallas, having a good time, right? Mm-hmm. It all comes down to trust. Can we trust him? And at the position that is, one, the most difficult position to play in sports, and also the position where you are immediately put in a leadership role and can't do things like that off the field that are going to keep you from being on the field. Because the best ability a player has is his availability, his ability to be on the field and available. So if you show us a history of making questionable decisions and putting yourself in a position to where you can't be on the field, you know, we are you know, generally speaking, it's going to affect your draft status in a negative way. Because we can't trust you. So it gets down to trust. We have to trust what we're getting when you come to our building. And the last thing I'll say is we conduct a lot of interviews. So when I was scouting for the Cowboys, let's say if I went to Ohio State, I'm going to meet with coaching staff, the trainer, the director of football ops. Usually there's a pro liaison. There's somebody there in the building that understands the player's family background, their work ethic, all those types of things, just because I don't know the player and I don't get a chance to lay my hands on them until an all-star game of the combine. But you're talking to academics, you're talking to the training, to the medical staff, you're talking to strength and conditioning coaches. After you conduct about 5 to 6 different interviews, you're really trying to shift through the sand and find the nugget. Who is this guy? What's he about? And what's he bringing to our organization? And you never truly know a guy until you live with him. But yeah, I think there's going to be a number of teams that do their due diligence on Stetson Bennett, but also him being 5'11 and undersized and lack of arm strength, there's going to be some people that abstain from him altogether. just because he doesn't fit what they desire to have at the position.
I want to ask you, before we reset, a little bit about Byron Young. I've seen some tape of him down there, and it looks like he's having a decent week as well. Seen a lot of people down there who are covering the practices at the Senior Bowl. You know, mention him as a guy that's been flashing or sticking out. He's kind of a tweener guy, you know, an edge presence. A team that's, you know, runs a base 4-3 or a team that runs a, you know, 3-4 or a combination of the two or whatever. Kind of how do you like his projection when you think about him to the NFL? A guy that was mocked by Mel Kiper Jr. as the number 20th overall pick last week. I don't know if he'll be that high, but certainly Byron Young is an intriguing prospect. But from a scout's point of view, yeah. What do you like about Byron Young?
Man, he has the hardest thing for me to find as a scout was suddenness. And suddenness is something that it's hard to describe, hard to put a fingerprint on, but you know it when you see it. So suddenness is like that twitch, that burst, that instantaneous zing,
yeah,
where a guy can blow by a by an offensive tackle, right? Or a receiver can, you know, I mean, you know, Jalen Hyatt, he's nothing if he's not sudden. Just running by whoever's out there.
Yeah.
But that's a commodity in and of itself, having that twitch. And most guys don't have it. A lot of guys, they're more smooth than sudden. You know, Jason was like that as a player. You know, great body control and balance.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Balance. If you put the ball anywhere in the area code, Jason was going to catch it, and he's built like a running back. So now, so after he gets the ball in his hands, he's stiff arming guys, breaking tackles. You know what I'm saying? And that's one of the things that made Jason Swain great. You know, but he wasn't twitchy and sudden. He was smooth, yep. Right? But that suddenness is something that we try to find, and that's something that Byron Young has in spades. He has twitch. He has suddenness. The only thing he needs is more time on the job to perfect and master his craft. Once he gets comfortable with he has to develop a signature rush. So that's, and it's something that I've talked to Byron about. Once he develops a signature rush, a go-to move that it's 3rd and 6 and we got to get off the field, and I'm going to speed dip and rip, or I'm going to speed to spin, or whatever it is. He just has to establish a signature rush, and he's still kind of feeling through that. There's pass rushing is unique, and like I remember when Von Miller came into the league and Alden Smith came into the league as rookies and set the league on fire. That's something that's just very unusual. J.J. Watt came into the league, had a bunch of sacks. We don't see it a whole lot,
yeah,
because rushing the passer, it's unique. And it's almost like a cha-cha slide, or like you see these girls with the TikTok videos and all that. You know, there's a certain like
finesse.
Yeah, finesse, yeah, to where the guys have to work their hands, hips, and feet in unison to be able to win and beat the tackle. But the thing that he has that twitch, and I think that's what teams are going to rely on. It's like, all right, he has a twitch. Well, we got enough time to be able to work with him and teach him the other aspects of the nuances of pass rushing. You know, Byron, in year one, he'll play in a rotation. You know, a lot like, you know, we see the Eagles rotating like 7-8 guys in.
Yeah.
Right? The Cowboys rotating, you know, 7 guys in. Eagles had 70 sacks this past year. Crazy. I think it's the second most in NFL history behind Buddy Ryan's defense in 1985 with the Chicago Bears. They had 72. But he'll fit into that mantra. And I think people are going to see him as being a starter. Well, starters, where do you take them? You're going to take them somewhere in the first 3 rounds. So I think Byron Young at the low end, middle of the 3rd round, will probably be the lowest that he goes. But I would say that Byron would probably go, you know, somewhere late 2nd, early 3rd.
Real quick, kind of a follow-up to that, when did Daryl Taylor learn his move?
So we worked on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Daryl's one of the rare people that I've been around who can get off just as well from a 2-point as he can a 3-point.
Uh-huh.
He always had juice, and he always had speed. So the speed, dip, and rip was always something that he could do. But then to be able to – for him to be able to understand how to, speed to long arm? Because one, we say one arm is longer than two. To be able to get the tackle back and then be able to come off it. But a big thing was just him getting comfortable with a get off, to because the signature of any rusher is their speed. And you know, Chris Rump did a hell of a job developing them. You know, Pruitt, you know, he asked me, I would work with some of our pass rush guys, and we would – my biggest thing is let's look at the NFL guys. Let's see what they're doing and see what we can take from their game, incorporate it into yours to get you going. And one of the things that Daryl did, we say run, run, reach on the finish. And just to kind of talk through this, most kids or most rushers, they want to go and sack the quarterback. They're going to tackle them just like they would anybody else. Mm-hmm. It's all about the ball, though. So when you're bearing down the quarterback, you have to go attack the ball. Because if I slap that ball out of his hand, that's a strip sack fumble, right? And my arm, roughly about 32 inches, that's a yard. And the ball comes out in the NFL on an average of 2.9 seconds. So as I'm bearing down, instead of going and putting my shoulder on, I got to reach on the finish. And that's something that he got great at, getting balls out against Georgia, getting balls out against Kentucky. And it's something that helped his status.
We'll continue to see how Tennessee players down in Mobile finish off the week. Of course, Donnell Wright and Byron Young playing in the Senior Bowl game. That'll come up tomorrow at 2:30 Eastern time. Hendon Hooker down there taking part in meetings and everything else, but unfortunately he cannot play. More chatter about the potential of an early departure for Texas and Oklahoma from the Big 12 to the SEC. We have more chatter on that here on a Friday afternoon. We'll discuss it when Josh and Swain return as you listen to 99.1, the Sports Animal. Josh and Swain rolls on here at North Knox Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram. You can come out and take a look at the variety of selection here in their lots. 225 Callahan Drive, just off the Callahan exit, I-75. Largest inventory in the states with Gladiators, Wranglers, Ram trucks, including heavy duty. No hassle, no haggle. It's no cost lifetime warranty. Got a cafe, got a gift shop, got plenty of selections. You're going to have a great time down here at North Knox Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram. And even if you need a quick service, quick look at the vehicle, maybe a quick oil change, 15 minutes, no appointment necessary. Come on down again. 225 Callahan Drive, just off the Callahan exit, I-75. Or you can always check them out online at North Knox Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. com. I'm Eric Kane here filling in for Josh Ward with Jason Swain and Kevin Simon. And Jason, there's been a lot of chatter, I mean, obviously over the offseason, and there was a little chatter this morning about the potential or lack thereof of Oklahoma and Texas leaving the Big 12 early, coming on over to the SEC for the 2024 campaign. There was a little movement there saying that was likely not to happen this morning. Brett McMurphy of the Stadium comes out and says, he tweets this about 20 minutes ago, Oklahoma, Texas, and the Big 12 reach an exit agreement for OU and UT to leave the Big 12 early and join in 2024, sources told Action Network. However, ESPN and Fox not satisfied with overall deal, so that's why it hasn't been completed, source said. No specific timeline or deadline is been made. So there's still potential for the SEC to gain two more member schools by next football season. But right now, nothing's official.
I knew something was up when the Big 12 Twitter account started releasing schedules and talking about the schedules, and other programs inside of the Big 12 were tweeting about their schedules upcoming, and Texas and OU didn't do it. All they did was just retweet what the Big 12 has sent out. That let me know that something was brewing. Something was up. Time to put up the radar. And if you are Texas, if you're OU, you want to get to the SEC as soon as possible because of financial reasons. But you sure, Texas and OU, you want to come up in here? You sure? Because,
they want that money, like you said. Of course, they do.
That's the name of the game here. That's the motivation for a lot of things in sports. But you sure? Your weight is up, Texas, Oklahoma? you sure? Because – this is a different ball game in this SEC in football. Now, baseball is a different ball game too. I mean, I know Texas is a really good baseball program, but baseball is even tougher than football.
Yeah, I mean, everything across the board. I mean, basketball, now this year basketball is down in the SEC, but football, of course, baseball is incredible. Women's basketball is top-notch. Non-revenue sports like track and field are up. Just from a bigger picture standpoint, how neat is it to see the SEC expanding potentially, you and I were talking off air, you know, when OU and Texas do come into the conference is likely to do away with divisions and then adopt either the 1-7 or 3-6 model, where Tennessee would have a couple of opponents every single year, but would rotate across the SEC and play every team once every 2 years, just so if you stay for 4 years, you're going to get to play every team in the SEC twice before your time is out. That is exciting to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to add – I mean, you talk about a super conference that we'd have in the SEC. You know, it's really an embarrassment of riches that we're going to have. But, I mean, but it's also going to be a murderer's row. And just like Jason said, do y'all want that smoke? Do you really? Are you really ready for it?
Quick sidebar. Mel Kiper put out his top 31 draft picks, mock draft picks last week. And, of course, it might not fall that way. But of that mock, the top 10, Tennessee would have played 7 of those top 10 draft picks this year.
Man.
This year. If Miles Murphy from Clemson would have played, he didn't. So it ended up being 6. But that just goes and proves your point. It is a murderer's row in the SEC.
Yeah, no doubt. And for a guy like me, so I'm a California guy, and I know Jason's from Huntsville, it's the reason why you come down to the Southeast to play for one of these great programs like at Tennessee. I wanted to play against the best. So let me go down to the Southeast and play against the best. So I think it's only going to make the conference more competitive, because the most competitive folks who play our game, they're going to want to compete a part of it. I mean, it's going to make for some intriguing matchups, intriguing football, intriguing Saturdays. I mean, so, you know, sometimes I sit back and think, I was like, can it really be any better, right? Like, think, everyone out there, think about how you felt during the Alabama-Tennessee game. And my heart skipped a beat, because I didn't think after that ball tipped the defender's hand off my man Chase's foot, I didn't think it went in. I'm like, oh, no, we're going to overtime.
It didn't look good, that's for sure.
No, but oh, thank God we won. But, I mean, gosh, I mean, it's
just –
prettiest
knuckleball ever, right?
I'm telling you. It's just it's really a privilege to be a part, or to be here in this time present, to be a part of what's going on and seeing what's going on in the SEC. Yeah, it's a treat for all of us.
Are we in agreement, though, guys? I mean, we'll see exactly. I think the last I remember, at least, I think the talk coming out of spring meetings and media days and all that type of stuff was the 3-6 model would likely be adopted with the 9-game conference schedule. If it is that 3-6 model, are we all in agreement that it's Vanderbilt, Alabama, and Jason, maybe Kentucky as being the 3 for Tennessee?
I think that's a nice 3 right there. I mean,
you're a Tennessee fan.
I take that
every day.
Yeah, I take that.
Yeah, I mean, Vanderbilt has to be in there. Yeah. And then you look at, you know, Kentucky. That's a border rivalry game in football and in basketball. And then Alabama, come on, man, that's the rivalry that all the old school Tennessee fans want to preserve. I mean, some of these new Tennessee fans, you know, complain about, oh, you got to play Alabama because you're losing. Now we got this win this past year. I bet people are open to playing them even more now. But I think Alabama and Kentucky and Vanderbilt, that sounds pretty fair.
Yeah, just from a vicinity standpoint with Kentucky and Vanderbilt, right? And then, I mean, you know, Jason, we played at a time that we was GATA for all the adults that understand what that is. We were getting after that. You know, things, complexion of it.
Use your imagination if you don't know what that means.
GATA.
Daryl Taylor did that at the Battle of Bristol, right? Was it Daryl Taylor, Jason? Was that him?
Yeah, it was him. He had some different words in there, but that was pretty much the gist. And I remember during my playing days, they would have a notebook. Everyone got a notebook on Fridays, every position, and it had pretty much the game plan of things that you're going to do on Saturday, and it was a test. So they had the X's and O's kind of drawn out on the paper, and then based on the play, you would draw kind of where you're going, things like that. And Saturday and Fridays in the hotel, when you have breakout meetings with your position coach, as a group, you would talk about the different things that you were going to do just to make sure everyone's on the same page. And on that notebook, every week, it said G-A-T-A.
Mm-hmm.
Every single week, just to remind you,
Kevin, you got
y'all
that
know what the y'all know what the assignment is. You know what the assignment is, guys. Go out there and get after that. You know what?
Mm-hmm. True story, everybody. This is a true story.
No, 100%, 100%.
I love it. All right, we'll see what happens in the ensuing. Well, we don't know. According to the report from Brett McMurphy, there's no deadline to make this decision. But Oklahoma, Texas. Will they be a part of the Southeastern Conference in 2024? That would be a year earlier than their contract expired with the Big 12, which is 2025. They're going to be here in 2025, but can it happen a year earlier in 2024? We will see. Brett McMurphy says an agreement has been agreed upon between the two schools of the Big 12, but TV deals with ESPN and Big 12, they're not satisfied, or ESPN and Fox. So we will see what transpires from that whole arrangement, but the SEC is going to get bigger and bigger one way or the other, either in 24 or 25. We are going to welcome on Jack Ross of the Fat Jack Sports Network. He's going to join us, discuss the weekend that is coming and which side of the line that you guys should be on as Josh and Swain rolls on. Kevin Simon, Jason Swain, Eric Kane, as we broadcast live from North Knox Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram here on 99.1, the Sports Animal. Welcome back into Josh and Swain, Eric Kane, Jason Swain, and Kevin Simon with you here today. North Knox Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram. No hassle, no haggle. Huge showroom, great facilities. Come on by and check us out. 225 Callahan Drive, just off the Callahan exit, I-75. That time of the week, it's 2:30. Let's welcome on Jack Ross, Fat Jack Sports. Jack, welcome to the show, and what should we have our eye on this weekend? What's going on over the site?
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show. Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville? Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Well, let's see. Good for my career. Send me to rehab, though. So I mean, that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Some things we need to be paying attention to.
Well, I mean, we had a good week. You know, everybody gets the same plays. They're posted and documented. And last week we were 2-1. We had Philadelphia had under the had over the Philadelphia game, which is a loser, and then we had under the Kansas City game, which was a winner. So 2-1. Then I had 10 prop bets also last week and went 8-2 in those. So a really, really good week overall. And, you know, this is the calm before the storm. You know, I just left Las Vegas, and I'll be heading out to Arizona on Monday for do some taping for the TV show before we get into game week. But it's one of those weeks where if you like the favorite, you should probably wait a little bit because I think the number will come back down to toward a pick'em. If you like the underdog, you might be able to get 2-2.5 here as we head into the weekend. So it's going to be all about timing on the side and the total if you want to try to squeeze another point or two out. The prop bets will all come out next week. So this week it's more about basketball, of course, and then getting ready for what's going to be a great weekend next week in Arizona as we wrap up the football season.
Fat Jack, you mentioned basketball. Are you looking college? Are you looking NBA? What kind of stands out to you with what's attractive in basketball?
I mean, the problem with basketball, especially on Friday, is that the things that are attractive money-wise are not going to be attractive to anybody. You know, it's either going to be one NBA game or two NBA games or an NBA total or a college game that nobody cares about. I mean, Fairfield and Quinnipiac, you know, those type games, or Mount St. Mary's and Iona, those type games. So it's going to be one of those where if you're trying to make money in hoops, you've got to pick and choose your spots. And then as the numbers come out tonight, we'll get into a deep Saturday card for tomorrow. And then, you know, the Super Bowl, you can also take advantage of some of the things that we've seen historically with the two teams that are playing and how underdogs have done. You know, guys, in the Super Bowl, the team that's won has covered the vast majority of the time. I mean, we're on a 47-6 run. The team that covers wins. So you typically don't have to factor the points in. Last year was kind of an outlier in that situation. You had Cincinnati that covered the game but did not win the game. And so there's a few of those type things you can take advantage of. And, of course, you have a historic matchup between Jalen Hurts and Patrick Mahomes, and a couple of high-powered offenses, but also very, very good defenses. So there's some things you could take of, generally speaking, with these teams once they go into the game. You know, Patrick Mahomes is rarely, if ever, an underdog. When he's an underdog or a favorite by 3 points or less, he's at 18-6-1 run against the spread. So you typically don't want to give Patrick Mahomes points. So that's something else to look at, as it looks like they are going to go into next week's game as an underdog.
Do you look at his injury that occurred earlier in the playoffs as something that will affect the line moving? I mean, he looked pretty good in the AFC Championship game. You mentioned that the line may move, may be a pick-em, but are you monitoring Patrick Mahomes' health? Do you think it'll be a big deal?
Well, when the line first came out, Kansas City was a favorite. And I think that the Sharps jumped on Philly immediately because they're not positive. You know, high ankle sprain typically takes about 4 weeks or so to recover from. And so I think, you know, as we get a little deeper, now we're into this game against the number two ranked defense in the league, that the mobility that he may have, you know, you're not going to, when he drops back, he's going to be able to make most of the throws, those type things. But it's about that mobility against the front four of Arizona. So that's the thing. But all things considered, he's going to be 2 weeks more healthy than he was when he came out of the game by the time we get to the game. So if he gets to 80-85%, I think that's where people think it's going to be. It was interesting to see, you know, the look-ahead lines going into the game. It looked like Philly was going to be a point favorite, point and a half favorite, but the number from the early books that opened up the game made Kansas City a favorite, and then the sharp players immediately jumped on Philly and made the line jump the fence, and now Philly's a point and a half favorite. So I think, you know, with both, you look at Jalen Hurts' shoulder, it's the same type of deal. I mean, how healthy is he? We really don't know. Philly had the easiest path to the Super Bowl in the playoffs since the 91 Washington Redskins. So they basically played a team with no quarterback last week, and they played, you know, the Giants that were outmatched this time of year. I mean, they were kind of a pretender, you know, for that round of playoffs. So we haven't – and also we haven't seen Philadelphia play away from home since Christmas. And people who like Philly – and I have – you know, I talked about this before the season. I gave all the clients I had, gave everybody Philadelphia and Arizona – as my preseason picks to win the Super Bowl. And I have a $2,000 ticket that's going to pay $50,000 if Philadelphia wins. And I'll be hedging back some of that, by the way, because I do think it's a very even match. But you've got it. There's a reason to pause a little bit, especially with Philadelphia, in what are the best offenses they play. And we'll talk about this next week a little bit, but this is not a team that went up against a bunch of really high-powered offenses. You know, they play Green Bay, played Dallas, played Detroit. Those are three of the better offenses they played. They gave up 33, 40, and 35 to those three teams. So Minnesota and Jacksonville are the two best offenses they played. They held under three touchdowns. So there's a little bit of a – should be a little concern if you're one of those that just feels like Philly's the right side of the game and that they haven't really played a ton of really good offenses. And as we know, Kansas City, you know, the best offense in the league. Patrick Mahomes has been there before. Andy Reid has absolutely evolved his coaching style to match his players and match where he is this time of year. So a very interesting matchup coming up a week from Sunday.
Hey, Fat Jack. So big news this week with Tom Brady retiring. February 1st of 2022 announced his original retirement, right, and then came back within about a month. February 1st of 2023, again, announces his retirement. Hey, what do you got the over-under odds on him staying retired versus coming back at some point in the 2023 season?
I like it.
Yeah, you know, my worst loss in the Super Bowl ever was when they came back against Atlanta. So there's part of this. Like,
hey, you and me
God,
both, brother. You and me both.
Oh my gosh. I mean, I have a party with like 20 guys out in Vegas every year. They're on-air hosts. People who don't typically bet a lot, and so I give them who I like in the Super Bowl. They inevitably bet a lot more than they should. So at halftime of that game, everybody's already spending the money. And if the entire second half, you could just see the thing just caving. So to answer your question, if you look at the big picture, it's a very strange thing because he comes back to play. He gets a divorce. And I understand there's a lot more that goes into divorcing your wife other than I'm going to play football, you know, pick me or football. But history will read it like he came back, gets a divorce, has a subpar year. They were the worst team in the league against the spread this last year, i.e. underperformed the market more times than any other team. and now he's out. So my guess is that he's going to stay out, but it is just a guess. And last year I didn't put a lot of thought into it because I really did think it was probably – I kind of thought he would do the Gronk route. You know, it was just kind of what you're alluding to. He may not start the year, but when we get injuries and we get later into next year, he's going to keep up his conditioning, his shape, and somebody will have a need for him. So much tougher to do at the quarterback position than any other position, but if the right team – you know, where he knew the offense or knew a lot of the offense had that need. I mean, I don't think it's the – you're not throwing away money if you at least put a flyer that he would take another snap at some point in his career somewhere.
All right, hey, so hey, over, under, who's going to be the 49ers starter? What are your odds on Brock Purdy versus my guy Lance?
Yeah, it's got to be Trey Lance, right? I mean, I like Brock Purdy. I think he's been a great story. But I said this literally when they went in the playoffs, that he was a little bit like, you know, the guy that sang Gangnam Style or the Macarena or some of these one-hit ones that were like, all right, that's really cool. And then the minute that we're done with it, that was the stupid thing I've ever seen. And I think Brock Purdy might be – he's not that. He's probably closer to the dude from American Idol that's a front man for Queen or Vince Gill, who's the front man for the Eagles right now. He's serviceable. But I don't know that he's going to take the first snap under center. That team had an absolute rosiest path to get him to be successful as they possibly could. They're playing inferior opponents. They were never an underdog. They were rarely behind. He took four snaps. The entire time he was leading up to his injury, he took four total snaps when he was down more than a score. And so I don't know that we know enough about, but we know the 49ers are great, and we know the rest of the team's great, but I don't know that we know enough to make definitive decisions on whether he's three to five years from now, we're going to be talking about him, or if he's, you know, Baker Mayfield bouncing around the league and trying to figure out where his home is. So I absolutely do not think Brock Purdy's the start of the next year.
Jack Ross, Fat Jack Sports Network, appreciate it as always. And what do our listeners need to do if they want more of your services and to join your team?
It's very simple. What you see is what you get. The plays are texted to your cell phone. They're emailed to you. And then those exact plays are posted and documented at FatJackSports.com for you to see and everybody else to see. You're getting only the top plays. You can see we've had an unbelievable start to the 2023 year. Basketball going this weekend, it's $99 for football for the Super Bowl. That's the predicted final score, best bets, top 10 prop bets at least, all that $99. Or start making money now. You can get basketball from today through the Super Bowl, or you get it just this weekend. $129 for this weekend. Get everything through the Super Bowl for about $249. That includes football and basketball. Or those preseason package prices, never going to be a better deal. You get the baseball season for free. You also get all the plays all year long for the lowest possible rate. You can pay out the service fee up to 8 to 10 months as well. So great time to go to FatJackSports.com. Apply common sense. Is everybody getting the same plays? Are they posted and documented? Is he betting himself? All those type of things you're going to definitely get with me. You're 27 in this business. So FatJackSports.com, sign up today and win this weekend.
Appreciate it, Jack, as always. Thanks so much.
All right, guys, have a great week. Enjoy your weekend.
Jack Ross of the Fat Jack Sports Network every Friday here on Josh and Swain. And we're going to tie a bow on this edition of Josh and Swain. Coming up next with the Power Poll as we broadcast live from North Knox Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram, 225 Callahan Drive. Come on by and say hello to the VFLs, Kevin Swain and Jason, Kevin Simon and Jason Swain. We got 15 more minutes of the show as you're listening to 99.1, the Sports Animal. Couple minutes left this Friday edition of Josh and Swain. I'm Eric Kane. No Josh Ward here today. It's been a blast. We've got, of course, Jason Swain and Kevin Simon, man. Great job if you had fun.
In the house. Yeah, no, it's been fun, man. It's been a great time, man. And, any afternoon I get to spend with you, Eric, and with the GOAT.
The GOAT?
Jay Swain.
GOAT.
Life is good.
What do you think about that?
Life is good.
That's some high praise there.
It's like I'm being recruited all over again.
We can do that. We can recruit.
Let's a little reset of the conversation. Tennessee, you know, made a tight end hire real quick before we get to the Power Poll. Kevin, your thoughts on a guy that you know, a guy you spent time with, Heupel promotes from within once again, and Alec Ablin, you know, getting his opportunity now to be a position coach. What do you think about that?
Man, it's his time. Yeah. It is his time to shine. And, you know, like I said earlier, when a guy shows that he can handle all the responsibility that you've put in front of him, why not give him an opportunity? And like I said, Alec has a way about him. You know, he's personable. He's an effective communicator. He has a presence to him. And obviously he's earned Coach Heupel's trust. I think that this is going to be a good move for Tennessee. Man, really excited for Alec. For sure.
We'll see what he does. Third promotion from within so far with Josh Heupel in 2 years, as he made the call yesterday to promote Alec Ablin to tight ends coach. We got John Wilkerson on the line, and we're getting ready for the power poll here to close out a Friday show.
Captain, we're losing power on the warp engine.
Nuclear power pants.
What's up? I'm Kenny Powers.
You don't know the power of the dark side.
I have the power!
With great power comes great responsibility.
Full power, Mr. Scott.
Power poll. It's how we close out the show each and every day. It's brought to you by Alcoa 10 Federal Credit Union. Less red tape, better banking alternative. John Wilkerson, welcome to the show. Happy Friday. And why don't you go ahead and kick us off here. Top five things you are watching this weekend.
Okay, Eric, great to talk with you.
Yeah.
Kevin, good to catch up with you again. I'm going to go with an honorable mention and go with the Ice Bears. They're going for back-to-back sellouts, which they've never had in their franchise history, but tonight and tomorrow night. Tonight is a sellout, and there were just a couple of hundred tickets as of yesterday afternoon. So I'm going to go with the Ice Bears as the honorable mention and hope that they get that goal of back-to-back sellouts. And even though we don't have real football this weekend, I still think there's plenty to watch. So I am going to go with the Pro Bowl, the Skills Challenge at number five. I'm going to roll with the Senior Bowl at number four. I will go with Purdue, Indiana at number three in college basketball. I think Mavs, Golden State, Luka against the Warriors, that could be special. And then number one for me is going to be Tennessee and Auburn when they tip it off tomorrow at 2 at Thompson Bowling Arena.
John, you've been looking at my list. What's going on around here? All right. So at number five, I got the Saturday night special on ABC between the Mavericks and the Warriors.
Nice.
Four, I will be tuning into the Senior Bowl. Watch your guys, Darnell Wright and Byron Young, see what they can do. Three, number one Purdue at number 21 Indiana, the Hoosier State, and love watching Zach Edey play, the 7'4 center from Purdue. Two, college basketball game day. I don't know about you guys, but I love watching college basketball game day. They'll be at Ames this weekend for the Kansas-Iowa State game. And then at number two, or number one, Tennessee-Auburn. Go Vols.
I like it. Jason Swain, what top five things are you watching this weekend?
I'm always in scout mode, so I got Ole Miss at Vandy. Vanderbilt at 1 p.m. Got to see what they're doing because Tennessee plays Vanderbilt after Auburn. Number four, Kansas at Iowa State. Man, that's going to be a hornet's nest there at Iowa State. Number three, Black Panther Wakanda Forever is now out streaming, so I got to check that out. Number two, Senior Bowl. Number one, them Vols versus the Auburn Tigers this weekend.
I tell you what, we got the Super Bowl next week, but no football right now. Baseball season hadn't started. Tennessee basketball is fun, but you know, for me, it's just kind of can't wait to get to baseball season and more football. Right, so my list is just kind of number five. Give me late night hoops Saturday night. Gonzaga St. Mary's. There's been some strange outcomes in those games. I like that West Coast basketball. Gonzaga St. Mary's. Number four, I'll take Kansas and Iowa State. Number three. John, I'm going to pick up what you were stepping in there. Ice Bears, Star Wars night. They're at home both Friday and Saturday, but Star Wars promotion night on Saturday. Big Star Wars nerd. Number two, I will do the Senior Bowl. And number one, of course, it is Tennessee basketball against Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
Power poll. It's brought to you by Alcoa 10 Federal Credit Union. Less red tape, banking alternative.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat because that should be your next correction, Richie, is this World Series or bust for the Dodgers? and Dave Roberts.
Hell yeah.
Search for The Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.